Okay, glory to God. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if everybody can find a seat, we're going to now dismiss our children for Children's Church. If you meet that criteria, Diana's back there with the helpers. And we had a great luncheon or dinner this week for Children's Church workers and excited about what God's going to be doing here among our children. Praise God. I shared with them the other night that Dwight L. Moody was doing a crusade once, and someone asked him, well, did anybody get saved? He said, yes, 2.5 people got saved. He said, 2.5 people, does that mean 2 adults and 1 child? He said, no, that means 2 children and 1 adult. He said, what do you mean? He said, because the child is saved at a young age, it's a whole, where this person we were saved, half his life was already gone. I thought, wow, how incredible is that? Did you know that 88% of all people come to know the Lord before 18 years of age? Is that right? How many of you got saved before 18 years of age? Raise your hand. Look at there. See? There you go. So praise the Lord. Children's ministry is significant and important, and I hope you pray for them often, all right? We want to thank you for your giving. You'll see in your, do you like your new bulletin? You can take that, put that on your refrigerator. It tells you everything, but the sermon notes are separate now, so you can put them in your Bible. That would be helpful. But if you're new here, fill out the welcome card. Give us the information we need to help serve you better. And if you're not new here, but your information's changed, please take time to fill that out for us. That'd be so helpful. You'll see the giving information on the program. You know, January was a little tough for us with weather and holidays, so we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Also, this is the last Sunday to get your giving records from your little mailbox. If you don't do it today, then we'll slip it in the mail, okay? You might check those boxes because sometimes there's goodies in there for you, so make sure you stop by there. Also, tonight is the last night for Jolt. This is it. Tonight's it. You say, I haven't been at all. It wouldn't pay me to come just 1 week, would it? Yes, it would. You will receive something from the class. The presence of God, Mark Harmon, I've heard nothing but good things, amen? And my wife's in that class, so she keeps me informed. She said it's awesome. And studying difficult scriptures, Dr. Dave and Mike Witherspoon, great class. We could continue that on for months, but we'll stop tonight. And then Greg, Pastor Greg's class on how to study the Bible, we're going to offer that again, okay? Praise God. So if you can come be a part, that'd be awesome. Also, we want to announce February 12th. That's 2 weeks from today. Brother Ely will be with us, but only in the first service. I'll be preaching in the second service because he has to go to multiple churches that Sunday. So you want to come to church both services, you could do that. Or just come here, Brother Ely, you can hear me another time. All right, that's a one-shot deal. So come and be part of that, be praying about that. Also, I made this announcement in the first service and then didn't realize that on the slide it doesn't say what the fundraiser's for. It's the youth. Someone said, what is that fundraiser? That's actually for Connie and I's cruise next year. We didn't want you to know that. No, it's not true. It's for the youth, all right? So that mark that down. That's on February 12th also. We have a couple of clipboards we're going to pass around here. And the men's breakfast coming up Saturday. Please let us know so we know how much food to have. Brad's got his family cooking breakfast for us. Brother Rick Unruh is going to be sharing with You Can Dream Again Ministry. And also, we get, some of the Mennonites are coming to join us for breakfast. Remember, they used to own this building, First Mennonite Church, and their men's ministry director and a couple of their brothers are hoping to be with us Saturday as well. So you'll get to meet them. Also, Saturday is Jensen and Beth's foster care shower. You probably don't hear that often, do you? Well, they're going to become foster parents. They're registered at Walmart. It's here in your program. You can see Amazon. If you can help out there, we're excited about that opportunity for them, and we could be a part of that and with them. And also Women's Brunch is on there as well. Well, we have some church outside the wall photos. Those faith group leaders this week, they went to the movies together. Man, that's great. They went and saw Resurrection. What's it called? Resurrection of Gavin Stone. And it's two thumbs up, right? Two thumbs up movie. So if you can go see that, that'll be great. And also, what happened Saturday? Master Pastor Greg, we had his reception. And he, from Tabor College, he got his master's degree. And also, one of his professors, Rick Bartlett, came. He's the director of the program. And he presented Greg with a medal for his accomplishment. Amen? Let's put our hands together. Where is Greg? Where's he at? Oh, back there. Okay. We're so proud of you, Greg. And I know that took a lot of work, and we just we love you. We're blessed to have the staff we have. I know I'm blessed personally. I don't know if you're not blessed, I'm blessed, okay? Because I receive so much from our staff, and they deposit in me every day. They've even kicked me up a notch in technology, which has been good. I tell them they can teach me one thing a week, that's all, because I can't handle the overload, all right? It's funny because they'll come up, have you learned your one thing yet this week? Yes. Yes, I have. Well, listen, this is an exciting Sunday. Brother Steve Crawford is going to be ministering to us, and some of us are going to be sharing with him on a very important topic, the fires of prayer. Steve came into my office not long ago. We visit. I just love it when I see him on the calendar. And by the way, if you ever want to meet with me, you just call Donna. She'll put you on the calendar, and I'll see it. And whenever I see Steve's name, I get excited because I know that I'm going to leave encouraged from our time together. He's going to speak something into my life. And not long ago, he began to share with me about what God showed him about the little fires of prayer that exist in our congregation. And I said, man, Steve, you got to share that with us. And he agreed to do that today. So would you put your hands together and greet my brother as he comes to minister to us this morning.
I do want to talk about prayer this morning, but if you'll grab your little white insert, and I've invited some people to come up and just talk about some of our prayer groups that we have in the church. They're listed here on this, and there's some extra ones besides that people are going to come and share, but if they come up and share, we're going to let Diana go first, Joe, because she's got to run upstairs. She's a busy person.
Good morning. My name is Diana Dorland, and I am with Keys to the Kingdom, the group that Steve leads on Thursday evenings. We start at 7 o'clock. The last Thursday of every month, we dedicate to prayer. And specifically, we pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters all around the world, and even in our own country. So we start there. And if you're familiar with the Voice of the Martyrs, this is where our emphasis comes from. We start there, and we pray over whichever country or specific theme that they are asking for prayer. And then from there, we branch out to lots of other things. We pray for issues in our country. We pray for issues in our city. And then there's a table that has all kinds of opportunities to pray for other people in ministry and missionaries and pastors and all kinds of things. But we start with the persecuted church. And that's last Thursday of every month.
At 7 o'clock. Come any Thursday, yeah.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jeannie. Hello. I lead a faith group called Be Still. So I formed this faith group in September around this idea that we want to reflect Jesus to the people around us and be in tune to how he wants to use us in those people's lives and in the communities that we're a part of, inside and outside of the church. And I think that's something that's really critical to that is having a deep personal relationship with God. And critical to that is spending time with God in prayer and reflection and listening to him. So that's what we focus on at Be Still. I really desire for Be Still to be a community of people who encourage and support each other in the pursuit of those practices. What we do is we come together, we have snacks, usually cookies, and then we like talk for a little bit and split off into alone time with God for about 45 minutes. We go throughout the whole church, just wherever you feel most comfortable. And then we come back together and talk about anything that is on our hearts, anything we want to share, and exchange prayer requests and go our separate ways. But it's always a really good way to start the week. It's on Mondays at 7. We're usually done by 8:30, 8:45. It's in the Friendship Room. So, yeah, I would love to see some new faces there.
Hello, I'm Kelly. Hi, everyone. So the youth group has a prayer time. It's 30 minutes before youth group every Sunday, so it's at 6 o'clock, and then youth group starts at 6:30. But it's just a time for the kids to come and pray. We don't force them to pray. We don't think that's something that we should force them to do. But there are a few kids that come every week and spend their time praying, and it's really awesome to see. I know when I was in youth group and my prayer times, like, there weren't always many people there, but it always was really special, and it formed my relationship with God. So it's really exciting to see those students that do come. I'm excited to see how God works in their lives. So if you do go downstairs, there's a few ways that you can see how the youth pray. There's pieces of paper that are rolled up on the table down there, and those are prayer requests that the youth have put there. So they can either pray over their those prayer requests, pick one up and pray for that person specifically, or they make their own prayer request, or they just spend time reading their Bible or just getting along with God during that time. And we also have on the wall next to our serving window, you can go and see the prayers that God has answered. So we have some answered prayers down there, which is really awesome. So yeah, feel free to go down there and pray over those prayer requests if you want. Look at the prayer requests for yourself. Yeah, I think that's it. So. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hi, I'm Joe. Feel like I'm in an AA meeting. Glory to God. Hey, listen. There are so many exciting things going on in Wichita when it comes to prayer. I've been asking. Mike's not here. He was here to represent the Thursday morning prayer group, which I see some of you here. Right now it's men, but it's not restricted to men. Women can come too, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We meet here in the prayer room Thursday morning. We pray through all the prayer requests that you leave there. And then we go to McDonald's. So you can come, you can be a part of that. Also, the prayer room itself, we're excited about. If you've never been in there, in Revelation 5, it talks about the saints being around the altar with the harp and the bowl. And what that meant was a harp, of course, was worship, and a bowl was the incense of the prayers of the saints. Wow. Get a hold of that. When you pray, you got prayers in heaven in that bowl, and they're going up before the altar. Well, that's what that room's about, and we have live 24-hour feed of IHOP worship that never stops, hasn't stopped in 16, 17 years. They've never stopped worshiping, and that's live in there. You can come 24/7 into this prayer room. If you come after hours, we'll give you a little code where you can get into the building, and you can just stay as long as you want and pray through the needs or just spend time with the Lord. I go in there sometimes. I'm telling you, it's just awesome just to turn on the worship and just to sit there and just kind of, you know, just let God minister to you. So the third thing is, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's a prayer revival going on in Wichita citywide. Churches are getting together. They've met seven times so far. It started with a little group. It's grown and grown and grown. And just a couple weeks ago on Thursday night, we met at Central Community Church and filled that church up. And some of you were there. I was so thrilled to see people from Faith there. I also noticed half of the worship team used to be here at Faith. I thought that was cool, right? Brian and Ray and Chuck and Sharon were on the worship team there. It was awesome. And those of you there know there were a couple pastors on the stage. One of them had kind of begraded the other on Facebook, and they got up and apologized publicly to one another. I thought, man, and it hit me in that meeting that prayer is the great unifier of the church. For those who call upon Jesus, prayer is what's going to unite us. And March 30th, we're going to meet at Bethel Assembly of God. It's getting so large, we have to go to big churches. And it's not just, we don't just sit, we get in little groups and pray, and we pray for our leaders. It's just an awesome time, and it's spreading. Hutchison, Hayes, Kansas, I forget the whole list, McPherson, it's starting to, they're now calling it, instead of Wichita Citywide Prayer, it's Kansas Prayer. Gee, I wonder what will go from there. You're about to hear today. So, Steve, thank you, brother.
Amen. Do we want to talk about the president? You can do that. I got Joe doing everything.
In 2001... it was put on the heart of some folks to start a prayer group for our government. Specifically, we call it the Presidential Prayer Team. It's not Republicans, not Democrats, not independent. It's just believers praying for our government and those in military service. It started in 2001, and now it's millions of people. It's based upon this scripture, which we believe is the word of God to us, that first of all, this is priority number one, that we pray for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Was that written in a time when those in authority were not believers? Right? And sometimes cruel governments, and yet the writer is declaring this principle to the church. I wonder if they struggled with it. And he says, why do we do this? We're going to pray for all authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Here's our challenge today, and you can write that down. If you got a pencil, write this down. We're a little behind the eight ball because January 23rd is when this started, where we pray for 100 days for our president. We did this with Barack Obama. We did it with George Bush Jr. We're going to continue to do it, and the numbers are growing. So the goal is 100 people from each 43,000 U.S. postal zip codes will sign up to pray, and they'll pray for 100 days. We're going to pray more than 100 days, but the 100 days specifically is important to any new administration. And here's how you do it. If you're savvy with text, there you go, U.S. Pray 100 to 74303, or you can go online to that address and sign up. If you sign up, you get a little decal in the mail, which is cool, but you also get a daily briefing of how to pray. And I think this is awesome. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Bless you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. One more. The last Wednesday of every month, we gather here at the church. We have some worship, and we spend some time in prayer. And that particular Wednesday, we set a theme for the upcoming month. And that gives us an entire month to pray about that. In fact, I think that the scripture that Joe had up there out of Timothy, the second chapter, is a scripture that we are focusing on this upcoming month, the month of February. So, television, they have commercial breaks. We just had a Holy Ghost break in which he publicized what he's doing in the church. Amen? Well, praise God. I do want to talk about prayer today. And Joe asked me to share on prayer, and when he said it, I kind of hesitated. And the reason that I did is, I can be taught a lot about prayer myself. So as I stand before you this morning, I'm not trying to exalt myself and tell you that I know everything about prayer, but I do want to share with you something that I feel is on the heart of the Lord. I've been praying for a number of months asking God what prayer should look like in Faith Community Church. And every church has its own individual characteristics, and every local church is a little bit different, and God does different things in every local church. And I was asking God, well, God, how's prayer supposed to look in Faith Community Church? And after several months of praying, the Lord gave me a vision, and the vision that he gave me were small fires scattered about. And as I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, what are you showing me here? He began to reveal to me that these small fires that I saw are these prayer groups that we talked about and are in this insert. That God has kindled fires of prayer in these groups. And he's got an intention and a purpose for each one of these fires. I want to look at five things this morning that will kindle the fires to a greater level in each one of these groups. First thing that I want to look at, there's a scripture in Acts, the third chapter, verses 19 and 21. And I told this to the first service. I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing this morning. And so this is going to be homework for you. You write down the scriptures and then go home and see if what I said was right or not, okay? But in Acts, the third chapter, in verses 19 through 21, the writer of Acts says that you're to be converted and that there will be times of refreshing. There will be times when God pours his Spirit out, that the heavens have received Jesus. Jesus has ascended into the heavens, and the heavens are retaining him until everything that the mouth of the prophets have spoken is accomplished. And so right now, Jesus is in heaven and he's waiting for the Holy Spirit to accomplish in the earth everything that the prophets have spoken. In Isaiah 56, and I am going to read this, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." In Ephesians, the second chapter, as Paul addresses the church at Ephesus, he says that the Gentiles were foreigners and strangers to the covenants and the promises of God. And that by the blood of Jesus, he brought us in, that we might experience those covenants and all the things that God has promised us. And what the prophet Isaiah said is that he desires to make the house of God, the Holy Spirit desires to make the house of God a house of prayer. And that he's even allowed the Gentiles, foreigners and strangers, to come in and to experience what he's doing. How? With joy, Isaiah said. So it's the desire of God to cause us to be a house of prayer. You're the church. You are the house of God. As individuals, God dwells within you. The Most High, Holy God dwells in you. And God wants to make you a house of prayer. C.S. Lewis said this about prayer. I think somebody asked him, "Well, do you pray all the time?" And he said, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It does not change God. It changes me." In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 7, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. In Luke, the 18th chapter, in the first verse, it says, man ought to pray always and not lose heart. In Acts, the 6th chapter, in verse 4, the apostles gave themselves continually to prayer. So God doesn't want prayer to be just something that we do, okay? Well, got to go to the church and pray, you know. Need to get up this morning and pray. Prayer isn't an obligation. Prayer isn't an obligation. God doesn't want to make it an obligation. God wants to make it a lifestyle. And he wants to make it a lifestyle of joy. Okay? Yeah, it's work sometimes. And yeah, there has to be discipline to accomplish that. But that isn't the intention of God, to make it an obligation. He wants to make it a lifestyle. He wants to make that prayer that comes from you unceasing. Yeah, even when you're at work. You know, you think of prayer, I got to get down on my knees. I got to go off into this corner. I got to find the closet to pray in. And that's not the truth. Prayer simply is talking to the Lord. It's talking to God. You can talk to him all day long. That's unceasing prayer, okay? And those prayers are just as efficient as when you crawl into your closet and spend time on your knees. We need them both, okay? The second thing that I want to look at that'll kindle the fire a little bit higher is the Lord wants us to be triumphant in prayer. Do you ever think about that? Yeah. God wants me to succeed in prayer. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 10, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And part of that text says, "Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How many of you would like to be as successful in prayer as Jesus was? Yeah. He was successful in prayer. Why? In John, the 5th chapter and verse 30, the Bible says that Jesus came not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent him. Jesus didn't come to do his own thing. He didn't pray, "Oh Lord, would you do what I ask you to do? Father, would you do this?" No, he came and prayed what the will of the Father was. He was a perfect picture, a perfect reflection of the Father in heaven. He was equal with God. He is God. Yet he submitted himself to the will of the Father. And so he was successful. In John, the 5th chapter also, in verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Rather than to do his own thing, he always looked to see what the Father was doing, and he co-partnered with the Father. That caused him to be successful. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be co-partners with him in what he's doing in the earth by the Holy Spirit. When we gain spiritual eyes and when we put on our spiritual ears, we can see what the Holy Spirit is doing. We can hear what God is saying to us. Sometimes just watching in the natural, you can see what God's doing. And if you do that and co-partner with him, you will be successful and triumphant in prayer. The third thing that I want to look at, and let's go to James. James 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 14. It says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Sometimes charismatics think they got a handle on miracles and they understand all the power stuff from God. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that the fervent prayer, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much in heaven. Did you know that you are the righteousness of God? I really struggled with that for a long time. I said, "Lord, my life isn't quite lining up with what your righteousness is. I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're saying to me." And I sensed that the Lord spoke to me about that. He said, "Steve, you were as righteous on the day that you were saved as you will ever be. Because it isn't your righteousness, it's mine." Now, hopefully I change. Hopefully my actions begin to align themselves with the righteousness of God as I get closer to him. And that's the truth. But the truth is, you're as righteous on the day that you're born again and you met Jesus as you ever be. And it says that kind of prayer, a prayer from that person, avails much in heaven. So every time you pray, "How's the Lord hear you?" "Well, you goofed up. I don't think I'm going to listen to that prayer." That's not true. You are his righteousness, and he listens. Well, I got off on that one. Here we go. It says, let's just go through verse 16 again. "Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Verse 17, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." I got a question for you. I was kind of wondering about this. Do you suppose that when Elijah prayed and said, "Hey, Lord, I don't want it to rain for 3 years and 6 months," that he just came up with that on his own? Nah, I'm thinking not. I think he was co-partnering with what God wanted to do. And so he prayed accordingly. Amen. I'm going to go back over this. Verse 15, we pray in faith. Do you know you've got all the faith that you need? In 1 John, the 5th chapter, it says faith is defined by this. This is the simplistic definition of faith. Okay, all the other faith things are true, but listen to this definition of faith. It's those who believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe? If you do, you've got all the faith that you need. Okay? In verse 16, we pray with fervency. Ah, this is what God wants to do. Our pastor talks about kicking it up some notches. Okay? God wants to kick up our fervency some notches. All right? He wants to increase our passion in prayer. The fires that I saw had little flames. God wants to make them big flames. Okay? Verse 17, it says, we pray earnestly. That word earnestly actually means worship. Your prayer is worship. I looked up in the Strong's Concordance what worship means, and one of the definitions for prayer is worship. Your prayer is worship. It's incense. It's a sweet smell to the Lord. Every time you pray, He smiles. Every time you pray, He listens. So He must not be listening to mine. No, He is. He is. Verse 18, it says our prayers are productive. Okay? When Elijah prayed, it worked. It worked. Fourth thing, and I'm going to tell some story here. In Romans, the 12th chapter, the Bible says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. This is just our reasonable service of worship, okay? We present ourselves to Him. He transforms our mind. You know, we don't want to be conformed to the world, but we need to present ourselves, the Bible says. There's a story. It's actually not a story. It's the truth. In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, when Elijah meets the prophets of Ahab, the prophets of Baal and Asherah, there were 400 prophets of Asherah. There were 450 prophets of Baal. Now, if my math is right, that's 850. There's only one Elijah. Those are just the kind of odds God likes. Okay? I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you think you're overwhelmed, you're not overwhelmed. You have the majority when God's on your side. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. I've got more than you. No, God's on my side. He'll make you more than a conqueror. He's made you more than a conqueror in Him. So Elijah meets these prophets, and the reason that he's going to struggle with them is that Israel's decided to worship these other gods. And so Elijah places this question before Israel, says, you choose today who you want to serve, whether you want to serve Baal and Asherah or whether you want to serve the living God of Israel. And he gets into this match with these prophets, these false prophets. He says, okay, you guys, you call upon your God, and I'm going to call on mine. I'll let you go first. Okay? And they did. They built their altars, and they put their sacrifices on the altar, and they cut themselves, and they cried out to their God. They did everything that they could think of, and there was absolutely no answer. Elijah said, it's my turn. The first thing that he did was restore the altar of God. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 21, the Bible says that God commanded Moses to make the altar out of earth. You are an earthen vessel, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter says, with a treasure that's hidden inside you. You are an earthen vessel. So Elijah restored this earthen altar, placed upon it the sacrifice. He said, okay, guys, I'm pouring water on it. 3 times. Not once, not twice, but 3 times he pours water on this. And my understanding is that kind of drenched it. There's water in the trenches around the altar. Everything just soaked. He steps back and he says, okay, Lord. Come. Let your kingdom come, Lord. And fire comes down from heaven. It doesn't just consume the sacrifice that's on the altar, but it eats up the stones and burns them and burns the dust that was there. He consumes it. You want to know what the desire for God is, His intention is for you and your prayer and the fervency that you have? He wants to consume you in His fervency. He wants to set you on fire. Whew. He wants you to hop up and down a couple of times. We're going to prayer or not? Woo! He wants you to get excited about prayer. Oh, gosh, gee whiz. Guess I better go pray tonight. No, that's the intention of God. And that fire comes from heaven. That passion comes from the Lord. That passion comes from the Holy Spirit. And I'll guarantee you that if you get close to Jesus, you're going to get more passionate about prayer. I guarantee you that the closer that you draw to Him in an intimate relationship, the more you're going to want to pray. The more joy that you're going to experience in prayer. The fifth thing, you got to have a plan, okay? Benjamin Franklin said, if you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. Goes on, says they met a lame man. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. But you know what? They were just fulfilling the plan. They had an hour of prayer that they went to the temple for every day. They were on their way to prayer. And stuff happened. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? You know, I was on my way to prayer Wednesday night, couldn't make it, had to stop and pray for a lame man, he got healed. That'd be okay. Yeah. But they had a plan. Okay? They planned to pray. If you don't plan to pray, you're not going to pray. I'll guarantee you that something will eat up your time and take it away from you if you don't plan. You know, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was crucified. The reason that he went there is because he wanted to pray. He was one with the Father. He had an intimate relationship that he desires us to have with him. With the Father. But he wanted to spend time with the Father before he went to the cross. He had a plan. Let's go to the garden, guys. We're going to pray. Come on. Come on. Let's go. You got to have a plan or it won't work. You know, God loves what we're doing in this church. He loves the small groups that we've got that are meeting and getting together and praying. But I think he wants them to be large groups. Okay? He loves every one of our prayer groups. He loves our individual prayer time, the time that you spend at home or wherever it's at, and you get together with God, He loves that. But He wants to increase our passion. He wants to increase our persistence. And He wants us to experience His presence when we pray. I don't know about you, but I was ready to go home after worship. We had a good time. Presence of God was here. He spoke to us. Wow, that's good stuff. It's good stuff in prayer, too. Second vision that the Lord gave me concerning prayer. I was sitting right back there about where my wife is at. That's my place. It's got my name on the back of the chair there. No, don't do that. But that's where I usually sit. I was sitting back there, and I think Zach Nicholson was here. He was sharing on prayer, talking a little bit about International House of Prayer, and we'd opened up that room, getting ready to open it up, getting it ready to go, and I saw the hand of the Lord come through the ceiling back there. And I recognized His hand because I've seen His hand in other visions that He's given me. Only it had a stick of dynamite in it. And I watched it, and boom, it blew up that prayer room. I said, Lord, what are You showing me? He wants to empower our prayers by His Holy Spirit and blow us out of that small prayer room into this sanctuary. He wants to fill it with people that are empowered by His Holy Spirit and His presence and find joy in prayer. He wants to blow us out of that room. You know, there are only 8 chairs in that room. And most of the time I go in there, they're empty. And I don't go in there a whole bunch, I know. But you know what? God's got a plan. He's going to bring a stick of dynamite and blow us out of that little room. He wants to take us out of our smallness. Okay? I know that there are times that I have blinders on. I can only see my little world, the things that I do, the things that I'm occupied with, and that's what I see, that's what I pray about, that's what I do. God wants to take the blinders off of us, take us out of our smallness, expand us in the area of prayer with passion and with fervency, with joy. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end." That word power is dunamis. It's an ancient Greek word which is the root word of dynamite. Okay? I think a stick of dynamite in His hand was just a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit that He wants to bring upon us in prayer. Okay? God has a vision for us. God has a vision for each of us as individuals and us as a church corporate, a church in the nation, a church in the world. He has a vision. He's going to accomplish that vision. He is going to accomplish what the mouth of the prophets spoke so that His Son can come back for His bride. One of those things is He wants to make us a house of prayer. He wants to cause you to be a house of prayer. Joe, would you close?
Brian, would you? Thank you, Father. I know Steve knows exactly what he said today, but he doesn't know what you heard. Because what you hear oftentimes is just the Lord speaking to you. I know you hear people say, God said to me, God said to me. Well, God's never said anything to me. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? Because I think God is speaking to us constantly, and maybe a thought that comes into your mind. And the more you hear Him, the more you'll know His voice. And I believe that God is doing something Faith Community Church, yes. City of Wichita, yes. State of Kansas, yes. A nation, yes. A world, yes. Because the world is his footstool. Do you understand that? And God is calling us to prayer. Why does he want us to pray? We can't tell God anything he doesn't know already. So why pray? Well, if you're just going to tell God things, then you're missing the boat. What God wants from you is he wants intimacy, and he wants to draw us to himself, and he wants to be part of our lives. And that's an act of faith when we pray. We're believing God. He's also put power within us. We're conduits for prayer. I love that. On our way to a prayer meeting, you might not make it to the prayer meeting. God may have other things for you to do. My wife and I, we go to a little restaurant in Old Town on Monday mornings. It's our tradition. There's one waitress in the whole restaurant. It's just a little hole-in-the-wall place. Sweet lady. And we've just befriended her over the years. And the other day we walked in and, "How you doing?" And she just sat down at our table and just began to cry and tell us her story. She gave up a child at birth 18 years ago, unwed mother, and she said, "You know what, I want to get in touch with my son again. Would you pray with me about that?" I said, "Sure." So we took hands. I don't know if her employer liked it or not, but we prayed. So then last week we went back in again, and she was so excited. She said, "I've heard from my son, and he's coming to Wichita. Would you and Connie come and be with me when I meet him?" "Nah, I'm busy. Ain't got time for that stuff." "Are you kidding? I'll drop whatever I'm doing." You know, now, I don't even know what God's doing in this lady's life, but we're just going to show up. That's what we're going to do. But we have to commit today, and I'm going to ask you to do something as we close the service. If you are willing to commit yourself to be a house of prayer, I'm talking about you personally, this temple, I want you to stand to your feet and say yes. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it, but you really say yes. Yes, I want to be a house of prayer. It can't be held in this building. Believe me, it can't. This building can't. It's just a starting place. This is a launching pad. But when we leave here, that's when God begins to use us. And you hear us say this a lot, but I believe it with all my heart. God wants you to be a glove on his hand. And he'll do it just by showing up at a restaurant and just be open. You get excited getting up in the morning. God, what are you going to do today? I just want to be a conduit for you, Lord. Who do you want me to pray with? And sometimes it's a little word you say or just a kind act, something. But be ready. But it starts with saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to be a house of prayer." And what Steve said is true. You got a plan to pray. I have stations in my life where I pray, set times that I pray. That's not the only time I pray, but I have to have those times, and I protect them. I protect them. Those who see my calendar, I've got them marked out in red, and Donna knows we guard those with our life. That doesn't mean they can't be interrupted. They can for something really important. But man, if you don't drive that stake in the ground, you won't do it. You won't do it. Every morning I pray over your names. Each of you have a day that I pray for you. I take the roster, 7, and I just divide it up by alphabet. And every day I pray for you. And sometimes I just run down that list and just call in your name. And then once in a while, God will say, "Stop. Stop," and just pray in the spirit for that person. I don't know what that's all about. Why does God need me to do that? Can't he take care of you? Because he's pulling us together as the body of Christ. We are the house of prayer, and he wants that flame to burn bright. Now, from where I sit, I see the little fires, but from God's perspective, it's one big fire. And the church, I'm telling you, do not let the enemy convince you that the wheels are coming off the wagon. They are not. Don't let him tell you that the pieces are coming apart when in reality they may be coming together. Because God he's got a plan for his church and you're part of it. And it starts right here. You want traction? This is where we get it. If you're serious, say, yeah, I'm going to be committed, then God's going to show you how to work that out in your life. Would you let me pray with you today? Father, we're standing here by an invitation to be a house of prayer. You declared in Romans that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Wow. The dynamo is already there. Father, I pray that you would remove all those obstacles that would hinder us from expressing the power that's already within us. Lord, I pray that prayer would not just be something we do, but something we are. Lord, I agree with C.S. Lewis. Lord, when we come in prayer, we're not changing your mind, you're changing us. And I pray. I could tell those who spend time in prayer. I see it. I see the change in their lives. And I pray you would draw us even deeper. But we begin here today with this decision. Now, I know every decision is followed by discipline. But what comes after discipline is almost unimaginable. It's delight. It's the joy. Father, I pray you'd bring us to that place. I pray that no longer would a prayer meeting be the smallest attended meeting of the week. But Lord, we wouldn't have enough seats for people. I pray, Father, you would just move on our hearts, and not in a legalistic way, but Lord, in a way that we couldn't even control. Father, we commit ourselves to this. We pray for the baptism of your Spirit upon our lives, that we would all catch the fire. And Lord, do it today at Faith Community Church, and let it spread from this place in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, amen. I'm going to dismiss you, but we have folks here. And listen, we're going to have prayer training classes where people will be here to pray with you. And you know who you are. We invite you to come up. There'll be people here who want to pray with you and agree with you. Never leave church on Sunday morning with a heavy burden when God gave you the church where you can just help us share it with you. If you need healing in your body, you've come here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and somebody brought you. This is your day. Come forward. We want to pray with you. It all begins with prayer. Amen. Never let me hear you say again, well, all we can do now is pray. Don't ever say that. No, that's the first thing we're going to do. Amen. That's the first thing. So go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We love you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll be here to minister to you. Take your liberty. Would you come? God bless you. Thank you.